Good afternoon. I'm convening this meeting of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. It is June 6th. There's a printed agenda that has the word Friday. Please ignore that. I'm opening a work session. Senate Bill 5517, Department of Education, State School Fund. Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5517 is the budget bill for the state school fund. Your education subcommittee recommends a budget of $8.2 billion for the state school fund, with $7.68 billion in general fund resources and $452.29 million in lottery funds. Your $8.2 billion amount also includes $68.1 million in marijuana taxes and assumes the passage of Senate Bill 845 or a similar bill that dedicates a share of marijuana taxes to the state school fund. Overall, this represents an 11.2% increase over the 2015-2017 state school fund. This $8.2 billion will be combined with almost $4 billion in property taxes and other local revenues for distribution through the school revenue formula. So it'll be a total of 12.2 total funds for schools. In addition, Senate Bill 5517 includes $67.3 million in other funds expenditure limitation for the marijuana tax resources, a small amount of timber-related revenue, too small, and payment of local option equalization grants. Your subcommittee recommends continuing the carve-out that provides for free school lunches for those students who are currently eligible for reduced-price lunch. This is a program that we instituted a couple years ago, and we're...
Discussion. Senator Manning and then Senator Girard.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. We know that from my talk in the school districts, the act was that we maintain at least current service levels of 8.4. I know that this is a bigger problem because, when I go out to the school and visit fourth graders and so forth, I see that the schoolrooms are virtually 1-30 ratio, with the teacher being the one. We have put ourselves into a situation where it's a revenue issue in order for us to fully fund education, as we all know. I am really strongly encouraging the legislature that we need to do a total revenue overhaul. Our tax system is outdated. It's about 50 years old, and we're looking at revenues that supported the timber tax that's no longer there. It's unfortunately that we didn't have the revenue before us when we came up with the budget. I realize that there is no more money. It is what it is. But I encourage us to, as we move forward with this 8.2, to make sure that this is a bottom line and not the top line, and that we seek other sources this session in order to get up to the 8.4. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Girard.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, I was the first one to walk through the gauntlet, and I have to tell you, I have always been a huge supporter of education, and that stunk. It just really did. So I would just like to say 8.2 will have to do.
Representative Williamson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Colleagues, I wish I could say that passing this budget today puts our school kids on a system. I'm going to vote yes today on this budget, but only because I know we need to give our districts a level of certainty so they can plan for their next 2 years. But I can tell you right now that I'm going to continue till the end of this session to fight over the coming weeks to control costs and to raise new revenue so that we can build on that floor that Senator Manning talked about, and we can get our education system to a more steady path.
Thank you. Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have an opportunity to actually begin a process that we will build, bring in the revenue sources that we need. We have not done that. We have allowed an atmosphere of trying to get to be as cheap as possible and get whatever we can. Right now, we have, we need desperately to raise the revenue. I am hoping and I am planning to work for revenue, additional revenue for schools and human services and other things if we possibly can during the next few weeks. If that does not happen in the session, then I will be supporting in any sort of effort in terms of another ballot measure to raise that revenue. It is a reality that we have not been providing the resources that our students need and our community needs in order to make education what it should be in this state. Reluctantly, I will be supporting the 8.2 at this particular point, but it is indeed a floor. We need to have significantly more for our students and for our future. So I will ask that we not be just symbolic about these ideas, but in fact, finally get something effectively done regarding revenue in this state. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to summarize and restate what I said when we passed this bill out of the subcommittee, which was that I've got two kids in public schools who, by general estimations, by the time they graduate from high school, they will have gone to school for a year less than our neighbors to the north in Washington, because indeed we have been cobbling together kind of budgets here for the last 20 plus years, and we are continuing that. Yes, we are at it could be worse, but it could be a whole lot better. This is not an investment budget in our kids' future. This is making do once again, and I just want to echo the comments of my colleagues about believing that this is a floor, and if we truly want to invest in our kids and our future, we need to make significant changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. When I came here, one of the goals was to pass a school budget before school boards needed to adopt their budgets. And I want to thank everybody that worked to move it from the current number, over 10% increase, to $8.2 billion. And I hope that does something for class sizes, because as we continue to pour money, the class sizes tend to increase. I served on school board for 8 years and 2 years on their budget committee. I'm a little bit offended walking through what we walked through to come in here, and I want that to be publicly noted. And Senator Girard, thanks for pointing it out. I might add, as we do our job here, it's easy to add to a budget. It's difficult to take away from one we're passing. So I think that the number, which is actually in my calculations 11.2% increase, and as everything that we spend, when people want more and more money, it takes away from things like Project Independence and things that are so critical to our state. So, and I will enthusiastically vote yes on this.
Thank you. Additional discussion. Representative Holvey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to add, I don't believe this budget's really sustainable. I don't think it's going to be able to reduce class sizes or add school days. To me, this budget is status quo. It's not good enough in my mind. I really think that we need to add more to this budget. I will be supporting this budget, though, today. I think it is the right move for us to make. I'm hopeful that we come back before this session ends and add to it. That is my hope. Thank you.
Additional discussion.
Closing.
yeah. Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Honorable colleagues, I was a no in subcommittee, and I will be a no again today. The budget does not really reflect an increase in 11% because there was no reason. We've not really addressed the cost drivers, so it's not going to help us, as the good representative just spoke about. It's not going to give us more teachers or reduce the sizes. We're just trying to keep up with the cost drivers, which are significant in this budget. Thank you.
I'm going to take a moment to add my voice to those who have. Did you want to speak first?
Oh, no, hold on, please.
Add my voice to those who are expressing the point that this isn't enough. This is the best we can do as of this week, as of this day, and I am committed to continuing to look for additional resources to add to this budget. And as some have pointed out, there are some other budgets that will also be critical to ensuring the success, the academic success of students in the classroom. When students go to class hungry or tired or under stress or sick, it's hard to learn. And we need to keep our eyes on all the other wraparound services. Sometimes we use that phrase. It may be in the education budget. It may be in other budgets where we can help take care of children, prepare them for school, and keep them in a position where they can learn and succeed in school to the best of whatever their ability is. I remain committed to looking for additional resources. It's not over till it's over. Representative Rayfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to share a lot of the comments that we all have right now. This is, I have a 5.5-year-old. He's going to be going to school in the fall, and I want the absolute best for him, as I think every child in Oregon deserves the absolute best. But I would be lying if in our family, between my wife and I, where we haven't talked about the quality of the education and the stability of our system as we go forward. And I believe we can do better than $8.2 billion. I think we have to do better for our children. And I want to compliment the speaker and compliment the Senate president and the bipartisan work groups that they have put together to help work on some of the challenging issues that are forcing us to look at any $8.2 billion in terms of cost containment and in terms of revenue, in terms of shoring up the budget in a bipartisan way in the Oregon Health Authority. They've really done a wonderful job, and I believe that we're coming to the table right now with real cost containment in a bipartisan way. We're coming to the table, again, out of bipartisan work groups with revenue conversations to try and solve some of these issues so that we can put more than $8.2 billion in this budget. Time and time again, we continue to hear members on this committee, Democrats and Republicans, not happy with where our budgets are. And we are going to be making very difficult decisions on cuts. And even with making these difficult decisions, there are still investments that must be made for our children, higher education, health care. And we're going to continue to face difficult decisions. And so I think we have about a month left. There's still plenty of time to act on real serious cost containment. There's still time to act on revenue so that 8.2 doesn't have to be the final number that we leave this session with. If we don't get it done in this next month, I am personally willing to come back all summer and in the fall to get it done right so that we don't have an $8.2 billion budget shortfall. I think with the shared values that all of us have, whether we're Democrats or Republicans, we all have that same shared value of making sure that our children get the best education possible. And I believe that we can come together and look at cost containment and revenue in a bipartisan way and take care of our children and all of the other things that we care about.
Thank you. I have Senator DeBoer and then a few others in line.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I forgot the other thing I have to mention is that we are not fully building the PERS that needs to be built to schools and communities. And so I want us to keep reminding that we have to deal with the PERS issue at some point. So thank you.
Thank you. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, and thank you, members. This is a frustrating budget and a good conversation that we're having here. I particularly appreciated the remarks earlier by Representative Smith Warner when she spoke about her kids and the unfortunate fact that we're now operating at 3 weeks less than the national average for teaching days each year, which means after 12 years, our kids are suffering a year less time in the classroom than average kids. And certainly that affects their ability to go out into the world and thrive and to succeed. But I wanted to broaden the conversation beyond talking simply about kids, children, our kids, our grandkids, kids, or our students. As a small business owner, I see the effects of this challenge every day when we go out looking for qualified, motivated employees. So it's not just about families with kids, it's about communities, broader communities. And I'd go one step further, Madam Co-Chair, and say that in my district, 25% of the population is over the age of 65. These are people that don't have kids or even grandkids in our school systems, but they depend on the success of our schools, because at some point, all of us are going to need help as we age. And we want to make sure that the people that are there to help us are qualified and motivated and, might I add, pretty darn grateful. And we're not at that point yet. We're not at that point with a hold-the-line budget. So I, as Representative Rayfield suggested, hope that that we're going to continue to look at cost containment, we're going to continue to look at revenue opportunities, and we're going to continue to work to do better than where we are right now. But this is a starting point, and I'm happy to support this as a starting point.
Thank you. Representative Huffman, you're next.
And Madam Co-Chair, I don't feel safe right now. I feel intimidated.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I want to make it clear that I'm speaking for myself, and I'm not saying anything that I haven't said in my district and in this building for the past 10 years. Oregon is always proud to declare that we make our own way. Sometimes that's just not smart, Madam Chair. Sometimes there are 48 other examples in the United States where they are making it work, but Oregon continues, Oregon voters continue to reject sales tax. It's hard to decouple the, as many have said, it's hard to decouple the conversation of budgeting without talking about revenue and revenue restructure. I came into the session with a plan of revenue restructuring that was summarily shot down by everybody, except everybody I talked to one-on-one that said, wow, that really works, dedicating a sales tax to all education. Oregonians need to figure out that other states are making it work, and Oregon will continue to struggle with education funding until we can figure out that there's another tax out there that's not evil, it's not a monster, it works in other states, and we need to get on board. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative McClain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The irony that we sit here and lament the collision between the escalating costs and our revenue system is doesn't escape me. This is a collision we've seen coming for a decade. And so the question I think we have to ask ourselves, and why I'm a no on this budget, is why not simply fund at 8.4? If that's what everyone here says they want, I haven't heard of anyone say we don't need it, then just do it. We have a $78 billion budget. This requires hard choices by our leadership. And why we're sitting here on June 6th lamenting the state of our budget,
okay, now I have to...
it just surprises me. So, you know, we have known about our escalating costs for a long time. And when we choose one way or another, we are saying no to some people and yes to some people. And so if that's the case, then just simply make it a priority and get her done. And but instead, it sounds like what the vote will be is setting up some sort of, you know, drawing a line in the sand, and once again creating a political debate in Oregon that our people are exhausted of having. They sent us here to make hard decisions. Make them.
Thank you. Senator Steiner Hayward, call for the question.
I think I'm going to pass. Thank you.
Call for the question. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to keep my statement short. This is the Ways and Means Committee.
Right.
When I first came to the legislature, it was considered quite an honor to be appointed to the Ways and Means Committee. People outside the Ways and Means Committee can deal in a world of broad policy desires, wishes for what you would like the world to be. But the reality here becomes a true issue of dollars and cents. I would like if there was more revenue on the table, that would be great. But I will tell you, the members of the Senate came down here before the members of the House, and they walked through the entire gauntlet, not just the short gauntlet here, to get here. And I respect the people's right to actually protest what action we were taking. But I was disheartened by it, because I don't think the people out there understood all of the difficult decisions each of you that serves on one of our subcommittees has made, all the discussions we have had with subcommittee members, all of the decisions we have had to make to get to 8.2. When we started this process, if I thought we would be at this point without revenue and that we would get to 8.2, I would have thought it would be extremely doubtful. And while our all funds budget is as large as Representative McLean indicates, much of those funds are encumbered by statute, encumbered by the Constitution. In our general fund budget, you have all had to make very difficult decisions, many of them beyond education, impacting the welfare of children and the future of children in our state. I'm not happy to be casting this vote, but I'm very proud of all the work that all of you have done in your subcommittees, because it's through that work that we were able to get to 8.2. Without that work, we would have been significantly less than 8.2. And I wish that the people in the hall had realized that.
Senator Monroe.
Thank you. In closing, Madam Co-Chair, I've been an educator for over 50 years. I've been a teacher for about 30 years, and I've served a decade on a local school board and two decades on college boards. And I've been in elective office for 40 years. I've tried to find more revenue. 30 years ago, I wrote a sales tax proposal, I think maybe the best one that's been written, and I got unelected the next election because of it, the sole issue that caused me to lose a reelection. Now, I'm still here. I keep coming back. Billy calls me Bounce Back Rod. But, you know, it is difficult. It is difficult to make tough decisions and to be out front. This budget is sound. It is over $150 million more than current service level. More than current service level. It is certainly significantly hundreds of millions of dollars more than the governor recommended. This is a significant budget. Now, I've been telling people all year long that any revenue measure, and they have to start in the House, folks, any revenue measure that comes over to the Senate, I will vote for, any, to get more money for schools and for needed human services. But right now,
the co-chairs have done a fabulous job to find enough money to fund this at 8.2. We ought to be applauded, not jeered.
Mr. Rocco, we're ready for a vote. Would you please do a roll call vote?
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Drott?
Aye.
Senator Thompson?
Aye.
Senator Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Senator Hansel?
Aye.
Senator Roblin?
Aye.
Senator Frederick?
Yes.
Senator Manning?
Aye.
Senator DeBoer?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Winters?
Aye.
Coach Vice Chair Johnson?
Aye.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Wisnett?
No.
Representative Huffman?
No.
Representative McLean?
No.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Representative Gomberg?
Aye.
Representative Smith Warner?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Rayfield?
Yes.
Co-Vice Chair Smith?
No.
Co-Chair Nathanson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Motion passes. Our meeting is adjourned. Our meeting is adjourned.